Cheap because I have one I keep here and I have one I bring from home too, so. We'll read from St. John chapter 3. We can read at verse 14. St. John chapter 3, verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And if you look in the original, that word says, whosoever believeth into him. Right? You can believe in. Like, you can believe that pulpits exist, but you can also believe to such a place that you're in the pulpit that you believe it. And that's what that is. Whosoever believeth so much till they wind up in him. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time together with your children, Lord, those of Black Precious Faith. Lord, our life here on earth would not be the same without these people that you've brought together, that we could all fellowship and walk together. Lord, we know that you'll have us together in eternity over there. We pray, Lord, tonight that you just break the bread of life to us. And Lord, that you just touch every heart that's here present, those that are streaming and will stream later. We pray, God, that you just drop something into their heart that would give them an extra boost of faith and to believe the hour that they live in. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Tonight I'm going to call this the stature of a perfect man. Amen. In contrast to the Sunday, the stature of an imperfect man. I know, but before we get started, I was going to say that, you know, although coming on Wednesday nights, everybody's tired from working all day and all that sorts of thing. And I know sometimes it probably, you just think, man, sometimes may just feel like it'd be better to stay at home. Of course, when you start getting here and getting to church, you start experiencing the presence of the Lord, and it's always good. But I know in those times, whenever you feel like that, you know, you come in and you're tired and so forth, I want you to stop and ask yourself, what do you think heaven thinks when they look down and see you coming to church when you're tired? I mean, you could be staying at home when you come anyway. What do you think heaven thinks? Right? So just keep pressing on. Amen. God is mindful of every effort that you make. And I also want to remind everyone that Brother Sam Parker's youth meetings is not this weekend, but the next weekend on the 8th and the 9th. Of course, he's in Bentley, Kansas, but he's having youth services there Saturday and Sunday in the morning time. And so I don't know, maybe I could even go on that Saturday morning. I don't know, but I think you'd have a good time up there. They have a nice little group of people, and he is the one that's going to be doing our marriage enrichment weekend. So just wanted to remind everybody of those meetings. Stature of a perfect man. I said I want to do a contrast on that, because it's a contrast between the imitation and those that are true. We mentioned the other day that, you know, there's only one who is perfect, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we grow up into him.
Right?
We grow up in him, and so that the whole thing, you know, sharing with that Sunday is to show you what the work of the Holy Spirit is in us as individuals, but also in the church through the ages. And to show us that God comes into his people. Well, I don't know what kind of religion it would be if God didn't come in and change his people. I tell people quite often that what good would it do to serve a God and say, you know, that can't change you? That,
right.
What good would it be to say you're a Christian, but you still have the same nature? If it made you a sinner to begin with, it would keep you that way.
Yeah. Right.
And so that's why it's a new birth. And so, you know, how the prophet said, God hates a powerless religion, right? I'd hate to have a belief that couldn't do something.
Right.
And so, you know, in the scriptures it says that the Antichrist, everybody nowadays talks about, oh yeah, the Antichrist is going to come. You always hear that. People talk about, oh yeah, the Antichrist is going to make himself known or here soon or whatever. The Bible says the Antichrist was here in the days of John.
Right.
And he explains what that is. But the key thing there that John says is that if they don't confess that Christ is come in the flesh, it didn't say did, it said is. So it's present tense, because God is I am. He's present always.
Right.
And so any religion, any spirit, any teaching, doctrine, that the end product of what it's trying to say is that you can't have the Holy Ghost, that's Antichrist.
Right.
Because that's the very life that must come into us to change us. See, if we don't get the nature of God to come into us, then we're still sinners, right?
Yeah.
And so this whole thing is to show that God comes into his church, and when he comes into his church, he causes something. Well, he causes us to have a new nature, a new desire. He gives us a new birth, but he also comes into us to lead us and to guide us into all truth, not just some, into all truth, causes us to grow. And then when he does that, God also will call for from his people. He will call for what he has made available to them, what he is there to teach them. You parents, as your children grow, you call for a higher level of maturity from them as they grow.
Right.
Right? You invest in them to teach them, to model before them. And as they get older, you expect them to become more acting more like an adult.
Right.
It's the same way here. The Holy Spirit comes in, he gives you a new birth. You're a Christian, you're saved. But then it doesn't just stop there. You have to grow. And we are growing up into the full measure of the stature of Christ.
Right.
Right? And God doing the same thing through the ages, making the church ages come to the place where these attributes are added to the church until here at the end time there's a bride that stands on the earth that is a full measure of the stature of the character and nature of Christ.
Right.
Amen? And so that's what we're talking about. And so that becomes the standard that he judges the world by. Brother Branham, he always said, you know, he's not going to judge it by the Catholic Church or the Baptist Church or whatever. He's going to judge it by his word. But when his word comes down into a people and equips them, and now they begin to live that word for the day, that word for the day becomes the thing he will judge the people for that day. Or it doesn't even have to be that day. And the reason why I say that is because Jesus said the Queen of Sheba would rise up and judge that generation. Well, she was a long time before, right? But she would rise up and condemn that generation because she went through all the things she did to come see the gift of God that was in Solomon, and these people there wouldn't even hardly walk across the street to see Jesus.
Yeah.
Brother, sister, I would walk barefooted from here to New York to see Jesus in that example, right? But some people won't. I would just about do that to go see the prophet, right? You know, any real divine gift of God, you know, it would cause a believer to want to be involved and be partakers of it. And so that becomes a standard that he judges by. He will judge this generation. The people you work with will be judged by their attitude toward the word living in you.
Yeah.
Right. Not something you're doing. This is something God's doing.
Yeah.
And so the scripture tells us this is the condemnation. The condemnation isn't that people are sinners. The condemnation is that God sent them light and they wouldn't come to it. That's the condemnation that's going to be there upon them, is because they wouldn't come to it. But the scripture is very clear there that he that doth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest that they are wrought in God. These attributes, this coming to the full character and nature of Christ, is something that is wrought in God. It's something he's doing,
right?
And so a person who is of truth will come to that. There's no ifs, buts, or ands about it. He that doth truth will come to this, right? Because we're part of truth.
Right.
It's in us. It's that birth is in us. We can't help it. It brings us to that. And so we see that. And so that is what is the light, and that's what he judges them by. This is the condemnation. The light has come into the world, and man wouldn't come to it because their deeds were reproved. It's kind of like, not to bring politics in, but it's kind of like this DOGE, just Department of Government Efficiency, and they're finding all this corruption. And could you imagine people who's getting mad that you're saving millions and billions of dollars for the taxpayers? But they are. And the reason why is, you know, they get an attitude that, hey, I don't like these people that were elected, and so that there's nothing that they can do that'll be good. Right? You've seen that. When you get somebody gets a spirit against someone else, I don't care what that person does, they can't do anything right because somebody's got a spirit against them. And that's what you see.
Right.
But could you imagine, they don't want to come to truth. You know, you'd think, I was wrong, and so, I'll get on board with this. No, they don't. They can't come to truth. Could you imagine religious people who say that Jesus is their Savior, but they absolutely get angry if you talk about being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? Can you imagine someone not wanting to be baptized in the name of the very one that saved them from their sins? It doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's because there's spiritual warfare going on in them, and those people are influenced by something that's not good and causing them to be that way. Amen. And so we've said, what is light? We've said this before, and light is when the word is vindicated, then it becomes light. Right? Because people could say anything, you know, could say whatever, but when God brings his word to pass, then he has vindicated, then you can hang your soul on it, right? You know that that's something you can walk in, because no, a man can't vindicate something like that. God does it. And so when God vindicates his word, that becomes light. So when God sends forth a message and the people pick that message up and receive it into them, and they are able to manifest the fruits of that message, which they couldn't do without it, that's a vindication of God. That becomes light. And others could walk in that. But others who don't want it, who are of darkness, won't come to that message. They won't come to that light. They won't come to that movement because it's, you know, they're of darkness. Amen. And so to me, it makes perfect sense. So it's not just Jesus 2,000 years ago and what he did and his walk and his passion that was vindicated when he was resurrected. That's not the only light there is. It's when he's also living in his people today, and that becomes light. Amen. And so every believer who's walking, expressing the word of their day becomes light.
Right.
Amen. Amen. We're glad for it. And so this coming to the stature of the perfect man, it is the Holy Spirit coming into believers, they're born again to come into the believers, and it is him adding into your life his character, something you're growing in. That's what it's talking about. And so I know when I first heard stature of a perfect man, you know, sometimes you might walk away and think, well, I don't even have the Holy Ghost until I get all these virtues, and then after I get all them, then I get the Holy Ghost. And that's not it at all. The Holy Ghost comes in you at the bottom, and he adds to these things, right? And yet there's an element of you have to accept that. You have to let that Spirit move you and make you grow, and you have to reciprocate and walk in that. And you know what? To me, it's fun to learn, especially the Word of God, to learn and to find yourself able to handle situations more like the Lord would instead of like what we used to, right? And so it's the Holy Spirit coming in and adding those characters, the character of Jesus, into you. His faith, his virtue, his knowledge, temperance, patience, and godliness, and so forth. And so he's adding those things. He's building those things. It's his, it's work that is wrought of God in you. He's bringing those things to you. And so when you listen to that sermon, Brother Ram talks about that. He gives examples of all those virtues, knowledge and temperance and, you know, virtues, a strength that can come out of you to someone else. He talks about knowledge, having knowledge, and when opposition comes your way and you have knowledge to know that the Word of God says so, thus and thus, and so that's the way it is. And so he talks about temperance. He wasn't how to not fly off the handle when things go contrary to you, and having patience, being able to wait on God. And wait on God and having godliness and brotherly kindness. Brother M says there are people, all of us have some of these in degree of ourselves and people all over the world and other religions that don't even believe in God or in Jesus have certain elements of temperance and certain things like that. And he very clearly, I mentioned this Sunday, we can't use that. That our own temperance, it won't work. It has to be the Holy Spirit. Guess that's what the whole thing is for God to come down and manifest himself in our lives. And so add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and then love. And you see that it ends up where what Paul was telling us in 1 Corinthians 13, love, charity. It ends up there. All these virtues wind up, and when it finally gets built up, the full measure of the stature of Christ, love. His, because God so loved the world, he was an expression of that love. We're growing up into a character, not just someone who can do miracles, but a character, a nature, that there wasn't one like him ever. And so he's in a class of his own, but yet he comes into his people and brings them to that same kind of class, right? A class of royalty of God's family. And so ends up in charity, which Paul said You know, I can do all these things, cast out devils or do miracles and all that stuff, but if I don't have that top part, then what good does it do? And the prophet comes along and says, we thank God for all these gifts and all these things, but without love, it's worth it. It's really, you just, see, because true faith worketh by love. So you see, the stature of the perfect man is just simply bringing us to that full character of Jesus Christ, where in Ephesians it talks about it, that he put the ministry in the church to bring us to that place. And then Brother Bram talks about it there in Peter. And Peter says, hey, when you have this, if these things are in you, if all these things are in your experience and they abound, that they're living and working, you'll never fail. You'll never fall. You've reached a place, and I said, at that rapture will come, because he'll minister to us and enter us into that everlasting kingdom. So that's not to say that a person does not have the Holy Ghost until you have all that. You have the Holy Ghost when he comes right in the first place. Amen?
Right.
But when he comes in, he will influence us to receive the different characters and natures. And listen, we're all different people. We all have different natures and characters about us, different dispositions. There's things about us that God doesn't change because he doesn't have to. It's not necessary. There's things about us that he's okay with. There's things about us that the Holy Ghost can come into and the Holy Ghost is okay with. But there's a lot of us that he's not okay with. So it's about change. It's about letting the Holy Spirit change us and add these characters and natures to us. And so when he comes in, he will influence us and cause us to receive these virtues. And so if you notice, every one of these virtues, I'm calling them virtues, different attributes, every one of them has to do with how we respond to circumstances that come our way. Jesus responded to circumstances in a way that nobody could, you know, he was one of a kind. And so, you know, when he says on Sermon on the Mount, you know, somebody slaps you, turn the other cheek. Somebody sues you for your coat, give the cloak too. If they ask you to go with them a mile, you go 2 miles with them.
Right.
Go all the way out, beyond. Do good to those who aren't good to you. Right? And he says, if you'll be perfect, to be like your Father in heaven, then this is what it consists of. To come to the stature of a perfect, to be therefore perfect, then you'll do good to people even when they're not good to you. Well, that was the character of him, that they slapped him, they beat on him, they crucified him, and he still said, Father, forgive him.
Right.
That's his full character. It was beyond miracles, beyond raising the dead, beyond healing the sick, all that into something that was only him. Amen?
Amen.
And so, we thank God. God knows his own program. He knows. And when he comes into us, his influence in us, you know, it's him doing it, right? Him recognizing the word that he gets. He comes in, he knows his program, he knows he will influence you into the direction of the word and the vindicated word, especially the vindicated word of your day, and he will lead you and guide you. He's a tutor.
Right.
We're talking about the Holy Ghost is a tutor, right? This Christ, in spirit form, is what he's a tutor do, is to bring you to maturity. Bring you to that place where we can be in adoption, right? And so, each person that's in Christ is already perfect before God. When you give your heart to the Lord at the altar, wherever you are, right then and there, you are in a perfect standing with God. Brother Daniel shared a quote the other day that was really good about that right there. You know, we could never be perfect in ourselves, so God had to do it.
Right.
And so, because we're in Christ, we're perfect. So, coming to the stature of a perfect man doesn't mean we're not perfect in the eyes of God if we're not there yet. Mm-hmm. Coming to the stature of a perfect man means that God has worked in us and built character in us, and all along the way, you're standing right standing with God, and if something happened and took you off the earth, you'd be there, right? But it's talking about bringing you to the place where in your manifestation, you manifest the full character of Christ. And that comes from a yielded life, years and years long. Amen? And so we see here in God's program what he does for individuals, where he wants to do with individuals. He does the church age the same way. And so here at the end time, We have an expectation that God is moving us into the place where we have a character to respond. I think when they say, what would Jesus do? I think that's a, you know, that's a, they've picked that up because that's exactly where we're at. What would Jesus do? Well, the bride will do it, right? The bride of Christ is ordained of God to do that. And so every person that's in Christ is already perfect. Luther was saved, but he's old, the pipe, drank, used foul language, and yet he was saved because God had not committed anything in that day other than bringing him to justification. And so he was bride. He was bride in that day. That's kind of hard for us to think of what I said a while ago. You don't, my little grandson or granddaughter, you know, I don't call for them to pick up the newspaper and read it to me because they're not there yet.
Right?
So you understand, God would not call from Luther and say, you've got to manifest full character of a statue of a perfect man because it wasn't time yet. So God didn't call for that. But what he did call for is justification. Because he had committed that justification. Now he could call for that. And so there was a people that received it. And that made them bride for that day. To believe in that message, which was in opposition to everything thus far. So there's always got to be a cross. There's always got to be something. When you believe it, there's always got to be something there that tries to keep you from believing. Culture, teaching, previous thing. There's always got to be something there, or there's no cross in it. You see? So Luther had to be in defiance of the Catholic Church. But he was saved, he was part of bride, but he wasn't full manifestation of the statue of a perfect man. He was part of it. Wesley come along, and Wesley had a message. It was further than justification. You can't live like that. You might be justified, but you can't live that way. You gotta let the Holy Spirit clean you up. See, that was the message. But it wasn't full manifestation of the character of the stature of a perfect man, right? But we see what God is doing. He's adding to that, bringing us to that full manifestation. Next thing was Pentecost in 1906. 1906, the outpouring of the gifts, right? As a move of God. God was in it, but that wasn't the full manifestation, right? Was not the full manifestation of Jesus Christ. So we see he is bringing us to the full manifestation that came after Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost. So it's something that we should expect in our day, and we should expect growth in our own personal lives that way, to where you can see yourself that there's a life in you that handles things better than what you used to. Don't fly off the handle when somebody crosses you, right? Amen. That's the difference. And so Jesus was much more than just Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost. Much more than just healings and miracles and signs and wonders. But he was a character of love. Okay. Right? That could lay his life down for others. That was the difference. So what I'm trying to, I can't tell you that I know all the details of what it will consist of. But what I'm telling you is that the bride will stand in a class of her own because God will have put her there by the nurturing of his Holy Spirit and by his word, and she will be in a manifestation class of her own where Christ is, that no other church can do. It's what makes her bride.
Right.
That's what made a bride in every age, was because they believed the word that God was doing in that day and everybody else around them didn't. That's the difference, right? And it's the same today. But today it's a fullness that God is bringing us to. Listen, I may never walk on water, but I'm still part of that bride. I'm still, you see what I'm saying? So are you, if you believe his word. Amen. And so it's not the word of a man. Don't go out and say, yeah, I believe Brother Tony. You believe the word. I'm just, me and Brother Daniel, we're just messengers. I know it's kind of a silly thing, and I don't, but if for some reason the mailman brought you a publisher's clearinghouse $1 million check, And every one of you probably like that. That's, you know, you're not gambling. I'm not talking about gambling or doing. But what if that happened? You're like, man, I got $1 million. You'd be going. And then somebody says, you know what? That mailman that brought that to you, we found out this week he was a murderer and a child molester. Well, I can't. That's bad money. You wouldn't do that. You see what I'm saying? The messenger has nothing to do with it. It's the message itself. That's what I'm saying is, and I'm not trying to say that, you know, I'm not trying to say that somebody's a bad messenger, but I'm just saying, don't focus on a man, focus on the Word of God.
Right.
And that's what we do. We focus on the Word of God. We thank God. I hope that you thank God for me and Brother Daniel. Right. Now, I hope that you have a respect for us. I hope that you realize that we give our lives in ways that others, you know, people who aren't ministry don't. I hope you pray for us, but we're just men, right? Here's the thing. When Moses' face would shine, you know, that he'd have the glory of God, and the people didn't want the glory of God. You know, they said, don't let God speak because we'll die. Well, isn't that the purpose? Let God speak to us. We die in our sins. So we can, you know. They said, don't let God speak. You speak, Moses. So Moses is going to the presence of God. He comes out. His face is shining. And they don't even want nothing to do with that. So Moses has to put a veil over his face. Right? But my point is that Moses was the presence of God when his face was shining. And when his face quit shining, he was just Moses.
Right.
When your preacher is up here and he's anointed, that's God. When he's done, he's just your brother.
Right.
And there's the right understanding and the right giving the right respect and appreciation and all that for what it is, and then also it's a middle of the road. Recognize we're just brothers in Christ, amen. And so, Christ was much more than those things, and we're coming to a greater manifestation. I believe it. I believe it's in his word. Where would I be if I said, well, I don't see it. No, I don't, you know. You can't come to something that God's not doing, or that you don't have. Once you see it, you know what to press toward. Right. Like Paul said, press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. There's got to be something to press to, and I want to press to something higher.
Right.
Not just press toward more of Christ in us. Amen.
Yeah.
And so, but the problem is, even in the message, so many people are just content with the blessings of God, a blessing of healings, a blessing of good service or something like that, or, you know, good singing or whatever. They're satisfied with that, but don't have a desire to become a greater expression of Jesus Christ. Amen? So, a lot of people spit on them and see what happens. No, I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just saying, you know, hit them, mock them, make fun of them. Rub the cat the wrong way. Remember the story, Brother Brandon? You know, pulse of the Pentecostal capital of the world, and he was there when he had that vision. It was a cat sitting on a pillow, said Pentecostal kitten, and rub it the right way all the time, and it just purr, you know how they do, but he raked it the other way, and it turned into a monster. He said, that's the way it is, and I've seen it. Precious man and woman right here in this building one time many, many years ago. But Trinity, turn hideous if you tried to say anything about baptism in Jesus' name. You're like, I thought these people were good, sweet people until that happened. And that's what the prophet was saying, is that so people love the blessings, but they don't have the character. Right? But God wants us to have the character. We cannot be. We have to be more than the people under the fifth seal, souls under the altar crying, Lord, when are you going to go back and avenge them? That's not Christians. Right? We can't be saying that. Christians say, Father, forgive them. What happened when Stephen, they stoned Stephen? He was a Christian. Father, forgive him. Amen. You know, normal human nature is to run from pain. Right? That's normal. I'm pretty sure that Jesus screamed out in pain.
Sure.
Because he was a man. And we would normally run for pain, from pain. If we knew something was going to hurt us, we'd get away from it. But Jesus didn't shy away from the cross. He did not try to compromise the word to avoid the cross. There was no other way. He said, Father, if it be thy will, but nevertheless, not my will, thy will. There was no other way than for Jesus to stand firm on the word that he was, even though it was taken into Calvary. There was no other way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that he did that. And I'm telling you, there's only one way for this bride today, and that's to come to that full stature of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. If we do anything other than that, it will not fulfill and do what God can get done in this day. I'm expecting and asking God, and if he doesn't, if he just changes our body, fine. But I want to see God do something in us to such a degree that all those that we love that still are out there, it'll bring them in. All that those who have left are leaving the message, it will somehow God will bring them in by a greater manifestation. That we can live something greater than what we've seen so far through all the movements of two souls and thunders and parousia and all those different things, that something, that we've finally come to that full measure of the stature of Christ that we see is for us, that God will do a great thing. Amen. And so, it's normal for people to run away from him, but Jesus did not. He did not water down the gospel and avoid it. And yet, he had to stay firm with his word, but yet he was the most loving man, loved humanity more than anybody else. And so, there was only one way, and so there's only one way for the bride. And so my plea is let's let him be our example. Let's let him come into us and teach us and lead us and guide us to his full character. I don't know how far that will be. But let's just walk with him. Let's just do everything we can to inquire in his temple and to stay with him, stay close to him, and fight anything that hinders that, and remove those things from our lives, and let us be like him. As I've said, he deserves it. He deserves every ounce of anything we can give him. We'll never be able to pay him back for all that he's done, but let me try. Amen. That's the way we feel. Let me try. And let me spend eternity trying to do that. Amen. So, I want to be in the stature of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the only way that can be is for me to surrender to his word. Let it change me. As I've said, that clay setting on the potter's wheel, it had its own will and want to have a certain shape. Well, that shape may not be fit for the master. If you need it, typically when you have a piece of pottery, it's usually to hold something. It's got to have a shape that will hold liquid or hold food or whatever it is. We take a chunk of lead up where you can't pour, it just runs off. You can't put food on it. And so the shape of it has to be changed. Our shape, our spiritual nature has to be changed. It only comes from the potter's wheel, from the pressure of his hand to change us. And you can't change yourself. You can't change it. You can't change yourself by trying to study more and trying to learn more. And I'll figure this out. It won't work. I'm not saying don't study, and I'm not saying God can't do things through study, but you can't do it. There's only one way, and that is a life in the Holy Ghost, a surrender to him, a walk with him, to let him move you and change you and fix the things that's wrong in you and make you more like him. Amen. That is the way. Amen. So let's bow our hearts to him. Lord, we thank you for this little time of fellowship around your word. And Lord, I try to be brief tonight because I know your children are tired in body. But I pray, Lord, that something you've been said that they can spiritually meet, that they can chew on, and a clarity, Lord, more than anything. I know that they probably knew most, not all these things, but to bring it all together in just one little moment to hopefully make a clarity to them that it'll help them. And so, Lord, we commit this little group into your hands. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your blessings on them and among them. Thank you for protecting them and keeping them and all the enemy that he tries to throw their way. And I know, Lord, they go through battles. That's part of it. But we just thank you, Lord, because you keep them from day to day. And we appreciate it. And ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody to remember to keep me in prayer this weekend as I minister there in Oklahoma. Pray that the Lord will guide me in the direction that I need to go to do exactly what needs to be done. Let's go to 331.